And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another exciting edition of Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. I'm Rick, of course, and tonight we are going to open a Pinotage wine. Now, I purchased these Pinotage wines from Wine Store in Blakeney, and I actually special ordered them. And I think I mentioned this a little bit last week, but we're going to choose between one of two different Pinotage wines. And I actually have the choice made, but I wanted to go over both of them just briefly so you know what the choice was between. And I polled listeners and viewers on Twitter and on Facebook, Facebook page, and a couple of the wine groups, the Facebook groups for wine. And I got some interesting responses from that. We're going to go over those in just a couple of minutes, but we do have a winner, and that's the one that I'm going to open tonight. Of course, if you're just joining me, you can watch the stream here live at drinkwithrick.com. You can watch it on Facebook. And I think we have someone on Facebook now already. Jonathan's joined us. Hi, Jonathan. It's great to see you. Stick around and tell me what you're drinking tonight. This should be really interesting. Jessica's joined us. Hi, Jessica. It's great to see you. And stick around once again and drink with me. Drink with us all. And even if you don't want to drink anything, it's okay. Just hang in the chat. Just tell me how you're doing, what's going on with you, and just join in the chat. We're going to have a lot of fun. Of course, you can join us on our Facebook page at Drink with Rick, and you can join us on our YouTube channel at Drink with Rick, and Twitter. You can actually watch us live on Twitter now at Drink with Rick. I think I've got all those issues ironed out with Periscope. And, of course, you can watch us on Periscope. You can also catch us on Twitch. If you like to hang out on Twitch, if you like to watch videos on Twitch and get involved in the communities there, we're live on Twitch, so you can watch us there. And that would be – let me make sure – let me see who's in Twitch right now. That would be the – I think it's the Savoya Media page, but you can look up Drink with. Yes, it's Savoya Media is where I'm streaming live on Twitch, and of course on YouTube it's Drink with Rick, and you can we're all over the place now. So join in. It's great to have you all here in the chat. Jonathan says, "Hey Rick, 2014 Behringer Quantum." Okay. And Chi said, Chi's joining us in the chat, I should say, and my lovely wife, Chi, and I hope she sticks around. I know she's keeping an eye on me because she wants to make sure I end on time tonight, and I promised her that I would, so I'm going to do my best to do that. I'm going to do my very best. Well, you can catch us in all these places. You can also watch us at drinkwithrick.com live. Now, there's no chat at drinkwithrick.com right now, but you can chat with us in YouTube and Twitch and Twitter and Facebook, of course, and on Facebook page. I'll be watching those areas and checking in. So I'm going to do my best to keep on top of everyone in the chat and acknowledge everyone with us here tonight. So, getting to the wine, I'm going to show you what I have here, and if I can, yeah, there we go. I had a choice between two different Pinotage wines, and if you recall, a few weeks ago, it was by what last month, back last month, we had toasted International Pinotage Day. And I had never tried a Pinotage wine. And I said at the time, you know, I'd like to try a Pinotage wine. And that's what I did. I went on a little search on the internet to find out what some of the wines were. And there were four or five of them that were highly rated. So I went to the local wine store and to winestore-online.com. And we have a local one in Blakeney, North Carolina. And asked if they could get a couple of these wines for me, and they looked them up and said, yeah, you know, we can get a couple of these. We can get this one called MAN or MAN, and there's one called Pettit. That's a Ken Forrester wine. And They were able to order, they had to order those in, a special order, but they were able to do it for me, very reasonably, I might add. So I had both of these sitting here, and then, of course, I was in a quandary. Which one do I open? I didn't want to open them both up and try them both because I'm just one person. If I'm just, you know, if I'm just drinking these wines, I just did not know, I didn't know what to do with two bottles of wine. I was not going to drink two bottles of wine as much as some of you would like to see me watch or see me drink two bottles of wine. I'm not planning to do that, and I don't think that would be a good idea anyway. So I wanted to make a choice. So I wanted to make the choice, but I wanted you to make the choice. So I polled everyone to find out exactly which one I should open and try tonight. So these are the choices, and I on Twitter, 80% of the respondents on Twitter voted for the Man or MAN Bostock Pinotage, the 2017, and 20% for the Ken Forrester Pettit. That was a 2018 wine. And on Facebook, in the Facebook groups, in Facebook, we had a couple of votes for the Ken Forrester and none for the Bostock wine. I let the that really wasn't a tiebreaker because it looked like everyone else. I think in one of the wine groups anyway, they voted for both. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to read what if I can find it. Maybe yeah, here it is. Evelyn over there at Fine Wines Buzz, she asked me, she said, why not open both and compare? And then I explained to her, well, you know, it's just me, and I didn't want to drink both bottles by myself, and I didn't want to waste the wine. And even though, you know, I could store it away, it wouldn't keep too long once I opened it and the air got into it. So I just wanted to open one at a time. And then she said, well, get a vacuum pump set. That was her suggestion. Get a vacuum pump set. And I thought, you know, that's a very good idea. As a matter of fact, I actually have one. It's an old one, and the vacuum doesn't seal very well anymore because it's so old. But I may try that in the future. We've had suggestions in the past to open two or three bottles of wine and compare them all. Excuse me. And we might try that one of these days. But for tonight, I'm on a budget, so I can't just open four or five bottles of wine, and then that blows my budget for the whole month for the wine stream. And then I don't have anything else to drink for the rest of the month. So rather than doing that, we're just going to open one. So the winner is... The winner is the Man or MAN wine. And this is the Man wine. And I'm going to give you a little bit of information on it because I looked it up and it says some really interesting information. First of all, why Man or MAN? And it looks like MAN, they've got dots separating the letters. So I assume it's MAN and not Man. But apparently, what this is the owners. There are three gentlemen that are the vintners, and according to their website, and I'm looking at their website right now, as a matter of fact, Jose Conde, Tyrell Myberg, and Philip Myberg, the three of them got together and wanted to start their winery. And what they decided to do was they decided to name this after, they would take the first letter from each of their wives' names. Their wives' names, I believe, were Marie, Annette, and Nikki, M-A-N. So it all comes together and it's Man. And that's how they named the Man Winery. I guess it's Man. I don't know. M-A-N. I'm going to call it Man for tonight because that's what it looks like. So we'll go with that. So back to the wine here. This is a Bostock Pinotage, and it's a 2017 Pinotage. And this one, I'm going to hold the bottle up right here. They have something on the back here that, as a matter of fact, let me pull up the back for just a moment. There we go. It says, in case you can't read it too well, Man Family Wines started in 2001 with three friends and their wives. To keep the peace, we named it for the wives, Marie, Annette, and Nikki. Our wines are made by a close-knit team. Some family, others have become family, all passionate about producing distinctive wines from this beautiful corner of Africa. And it's signed by the, I don't know if you can see it too well there on the image, on the screen, but it's signed by Jose Conde, Tyrell Myberg, and Philip Myberg. And Jose is married to Marie. Tyrell is married to Annette, and Philip is married to Nikki, according to this. So the Bostock Pinotage 2017, Bostock refers to the untrellised bush vine vineyards that make up more than half of the vineyards of our region. The Bostock Pinotage vineyards grow close to the ground, producing lower yields of concentrated, flavorful grapes. And it's supposed to go with some sweet, spicy dishes and risotto, chicken pie. I've looked it up, and it looks like it's a very versatile wine. It's compatible with a lot of different kinds of foods, and we're going to try some out because tonight I have to try these out. I have some nice little platter that my lovely wife Chi made for me. I have some crackers, of course, clear the palate. I have a little bit of beef. Sausage, I think this is still the beer sausage. I'm not absolutely sure. It might be a beef summer sausage. I have Colby, I think this is a Monterey Jack or Colby Jack here. And also I have the pizza. The pizza's right there. And I also have some cheese, some smoked, smoked cheddar from Pepperidge Farms, I believe, that we purchased. And in the middle, in the center, just in case you can't see it too well, in the very center is some lamb. My wife, she marinated and cooked up some lamb for me just to try on the wine stream tonight, a little sample of wine just for tonight. So we're going to try it out and see how it pairs well, because supposedly it's supposed to be able to pair well with a lot of different foods, including pastas and lamb. And they say it'll go pretty well with pizza, according to the vineyard. But we're going to find out. We're going to find out as we try it out. So let's go ahead and open port. In fact, before I do that, let me check back in with the chat. Gordon's joined us in the chat. It's great to see you, Gordon. I've been catching up with Gordon's. I watch some of Gordon's videos as well. He does a live stream also and a podcast. And Gordon is the resident in the podcast community, the resident law expert on podcasting. And he's kind of one of the go-to guys that we all go to for advice on legal matters related to podcasting. And Gordon, it's great to see you in the chat tonight. Stick around. Tell me what you're drinking, or what you're not drinking, or what you'd like to be drinking. And we're going to try to keep it legal. So, and joining the chat, let me see if we've got anyone going on. Oh, yes, Valley Hounds has joined us, and I almost missed it, yeah, because I was busy talking about the wine. Valley Hounds says, hello, do it, drink both, live it up, and says, be a man, drink both. Man Wine named that because they made it with both twig and berries. Good to know. And in let's see, anything going on in Twitch? Not at the moment, but I'm watching everyone. I don't want to forget everyone who's joined me tonight. And join and shout out and tell me how you're doing. Courtney's here. Courtney's in the chat. She says, "Hey Rick, sorry I missed you last week." We're sorry we missed you too, Courtney. You know, you can always catch us on the rewind, so to speak, at drinkwithrick.com. But I'm glad you're here tonight and join us. Join in. So we're going to open this bottle of Man Wine, and to do so, and of course this has a screw cap, so we don't really have to use my little contraption tonight to the corkscrew, mechanical corkscrew to open it with, but I am going to need my aerator, so I'm going to have that handy, and we're going to pour it into my Cooper's Hawk. genuine crystal wine glass from the Cooper's Hawk Winery and Restaurant in Orlando, Florida, which I picked up at PodFest earlier this year, which, by the way, I believe PodFest 2020 is coming up pretty soon. So Gordon, you getting ready for PodFest 2020? I'm looking forward to seeing you there and catch up there. And he was at PodFest 2019, saw him there as well. And let's see, we're going to go ahead and pour this. Now, before we do, I did want to check the prices out on this a little bit. And I'll tell you what I paid for in a minute, but prices, I've got prices here. If I can see them. But they're going for about, on average, about $10 a bottle, maybe a little bit less in some places. I did have $10.91, I think, on Vivino.com. And I'll tell you what I paid for in just a moment because I have the receipt right here. But we're going to go ahead and pour this wine. Just a little bit for starters. And you know what? I did forget to put my aerator in here, so I'm going to do that now. Silly me. Forgot the aerator. But it's okay. We'll let it breathe for a minute. While it's breathing, I'll tell you about the I'll tell you about what I paid for it. And it's actually kind of a medium to full body, not really full body, not very dense. It's kind of a medium bodied red. Has a nice color to it. I don't know if you can tell from the lights here, but it does have a really nice color to it. I do like it. And I can get the fragrance from it now, but before I get a whiff of it, let me tell you what I paid for it. I purchased this at winestore-online.com. I paid $8.99 for this bottle. $8.99. The Ken Forrester wine, by the way, was $11.99. That was about $12 a bottle. And I haven't really price checked that online yet, but this one I have price checked, and it goes anywhere from between $7.99 and about $11 to $12.99 a bottle. So that's about this kind of medium price I paid for, especially for wine that had to be special ordered. And they were really, really cool about getting that in for me. They went to they put a lot of work into it, and I do appreciate that, Trish and Molly over there. So let's go ahead and get a whiff of this wine. And it smells kind of like a little bit of raspberry. And again, it's a fruity wine. I smell a little bit of spicy notes to it. And a little bit of Few herbs. Let's give it a taste. Also leathery, right on the nose. It was somewhat leather, a little bit of leather. I did smell that right away on the nose when I took the first sip, because it was so, the leather surprised me, I guess, a little bit. But because of that, I'm going to have to take another sip to really. Yeah, kind of leathery, earthy, rather a little earthy. Yeah, it is actually quite a bit earthy. The fruit got the blackberry. Spicy, some a few herbs, a little bit of, I want to say a little bit of, a little oak. Some oak in it. Maybe a hint of chocolate. I'd have to try a little bit more of this just to be sure. Now I'm aerating it. Quite earthy. But that's not bad. That's not bad. It is distinct. It has a distinct Yeah, the very earth tones to it. And, you know, this is a South African wine. Pinotage grapes are... South Africa has kind of embraced the Pinotage grape, so to speak, and is, I believe, it is a combination of a Pinot and a Saison, and it's that blending of that grape. It's 100%, at least according to this, I believe it's 100% Pinotage. Yes, Pinotage 100%. And the grape source is the coastal region, according to their. I have a copy of their notes here. Their sheet. Their one sheet. So their spec sheet, I should say. So it's 100% Pinotage in the grape. But what they do is the grape is a blend of a Pinot and a Saison grape. Anyway, the wine is very it's refreshing. I'll have to say that this wine is rather refreshing. I like it. It's a refreshing wine, and I have never tried a Pinotage before. I've had Pinots and Pinot Noirs and Pinot Grigios and whatever, but a grape that's sort of a blend between two other grapes that is now its own grape is different. And it's rather refreshing. I like it. We're going to have to pair it with some foods here. We're definitely going to have to pair it with some foods. But before we do that, let me go back to the chats here and see what we have going on. And Courtney, all right, Courtney's here, Jonathan's here, Jessica, and who do we have? And Valley Hounds is still here. Valley Hounds says, happy 50th court. It's a running joke, Courtney. You're getting older by the week. Is that what it is? Okay. So, let's see what we have going on in Twitch. Nothing going on in Twitch, so to speak, but we are live there. So, let's go ahead and try to pair this with some wine. To do that, I'm going to fill up this wine glass a little bit more. I know you would like to see me fill it all the way. I'm not going to do all that just right now, but I am going to. It needs a little more. Okay. All right, we're good now, right? All right, so we've got a glass of wine, and we're going to try it with some foods. And before that, we do that, let me clear my palate out just a little bit with some water. And Molly has joined us in the chat. Molly, it's great to see you too. I'm happy that you're here. And she says, hello, Rick. Hello right back at you, Molly. Thanks for joining us and stick around. We just opened up the Pinotage wine, and we're about to pair it with some foods. And by the way, this the leather, I can taste the leather. It's good, and the earth tones to this. It's quite distinct. And the blend with the blackberry and a little bit of chocolate in there is very good. Courtney says, not real sure. I'm only 37 and holding. I believe you, Courtney. I'll go with that. All right, so let's try it first. What we should try it first with? You know, first thing I'm thinking, because this goes supposed to go well with some spicy foods as well, so I'm going to try it with a little bit of this beef summer sausage, which is somewhat spicy. Not real spicy, but for spicy meat. It complements it. It doesn't really enhance the flavor of it, but it complements it. I like that. It's okay. I like that. Now, once again, this wine is supposed to pair well with a lot of different foods, including a lot of meaty foods. And I think this probably would go with a lot of grilled meats. And supposedly, that's what, for a South African wine, that's really what it's designed to pair well with are these spice or these meats, the a lot of meats, game, things like that. I think that it is supposed to go well with lamb. Lamb was mentioned in there as a go-to meat for this. So that's why we have the lamb. We're going to try that in a moment. But it goes well with some spicy foods. And they say some, I want to say that someone mentioned that it would probably go well with, you know, back to some of my notes here, probably go well with some, not Indian food, but I don't know if I'd put this with Indian food, so to speak, but it's kind of spicy foods that are a little bit spicier than I'm supposed to eat, you know, that it's supposed to go well with that. And let's try it with, and it is supposed to go well with pizza. So that's why I have the pizza here. And I have a pizza here with some turkey pepperoni to make it a little spicier. We'll try it with the pizza. What wine does not go good with pizza? Well, that's some whites that don't, but that doesn't stop anyone from having a good white wine with pizza, right? That doesn't stop anybody from eating pizza. So, okay, yeah, that's all right. I like it. Actually brings out the cheese okay, but it actually really accentuates the tomato sauce in here. I like that. I do like that. We'll try, as a matter of fact, since we're moving over to the cheese, let's try it with some cheeses. I'm really anxious to try it with this smoked, with this smoked cheddar. Because I really like the smoked cheddar. I'm terrible. My mom said, never talk with food in your mouth. Don't tell my mom. Hey, I like that. I like that. I think it pairs pretty well with the smoked with the smoked cheddar. I like that very much. I'll have to try it again. I can drink half this bottle just with this cheese. Yeah, okay, I'll give a check for this smoked cheddar in this pinotage. I also have some, I think, is this a Colby Jack? I think it is. We'll try it with that. It's okay. I like it with the smoked cheddar better, personally. That's a personal taste, but I think the Colby Jack's okay, but I think, and I love this Jack cheese. I had quite a bit of it the other night with a different wine, by the way. Actually, what I drank it with the Tessalet. I opened up a bottle of the Tessalet, which we reviewed in another wine stream about a couple months ago, and it worked pretty well with the Tessalet wine. That was the Tessalet is a combination. It's a blend with Syrah and Mourvedre, and what else is in there? It's a good wine, but you can go back and watch that stream. But that goes good with the Monterey Jack, Colby Jack. I guess that's what this is. So let's try it with the lamb. I'm eager to try it with the lamb. Gee, you did a great job with the lamb, by the way. Really good. I like this lamb. She marinated. Gee, what did you marinate this lamb in? I know you marinated it. Let's see. Okay. And this is, she didn't grill it on the grill, but it's grilled. She did it pan grilled, but like pan broiled. But it's It's good. I like it. I'll have another piece. I know you're supposed to chew your meat 30 times, right? But I don't think you want to sit here for 2 minutes waiting for me to chew up the meat. I wouldn't. Good lamb, though. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think this works very well with the lamb. In fact, I think this would pair, if this pairs with lamb, it would probably pair very well with any kind of grilled meat. Steaks. I know some people like to grill pork chops and stuff. I'm not into pork, but burgers, things like that. I think it would work with just about any kind of grilled meat, so to speak, and even some gamier meats. I think it would probably be okay with. I'd be all right with it. Yeah, I think it's pretty good. So we're going to have a little bit more of this. And I'm going to check in with the chat again as well. What we have here, Valley Hound says, lie. It says, no Gouda tonight. Seriously, Rick, need to add ASMR show. I'm thinking about that. I actually, you mentioned that last week on the stream. I thought about it, and I'm still thinking about it, and I think you might be onto something. So I'm taking that under advisement. We'll see. I've got a few things going on right now, but once we get some of the holiday stuff going on, I'm going to look at that. I am looking at that seriously. I appreciate the suggestion as well. I really do. Let's see what do we have here in. Okay, nothing going on here on Twitter, so to speak. But we are live on Twitter, so if you want to tweet me there, you can, and I'll be happy to respond to you in kind right here live on the stream. So Facebook seems to be where the action is right now, so we're going to be right here. And, of course, I'm checking it because I know Valley Hounds is on YouTube, so I'm not forgetting you there. So I'll finish some of this later. Let me clear the palate just a little bit. But I like this wine. Now, if you don't, you know, some people don't like really earthy wines. And if you don't, I'll warn you right now, Pinotage, it might be sort of an acquired taste for some people. I like a wide variety of wines. I've tried a wide variety of wines, as you can see here behind me, and which most of you have been here right along with me to try. There are some wines that I don't like. There's some that I've tried that I didn't care for too much. And if you are into the sweeter wines, and especially sweeter wines that are some of the sweeter whites and some of the sweet reds, you might not like this wine too much because this is a dry red. It does have some tannins to it. I didn't mention that earlier, but it does. It's a little tannic. It's not real. It's not real tannic, but it does have some tannins to it. I want to say it's moderately dry. It's not. I mean, there is a little tinge. There's a little tinge of sweetness to it, but it's not enough to bother me. Some sweet wines I just cannot take. You know, they're just too sickeningly syrupy sweet. It does have a slight sweetness to it, but it's not very much. It's really, I would say it's fairly very moderately dry. So I like it. It's okay. But there are some folks that don't like earthy, that don't like leather tones to it. They don't like anything that's too, that's tannic like that. They, you know, and this might not be the wine for you. Okay, if that's the case, this might not be what you want. But if you're willing to try something new, if you like something and you like fairly dry wines, and that's okay with you. You like earthy, and earthy's good. Nothing wrong with that. And then you might like this. You might really, really like this wine. So I would say I like it. It's okay with me. And I'm not just saying it because I'm drinking it. Because if I didn't like this wine, you know there have been a couple of wines I've tried here before that I didn't like too much. But so I'm being honest with you. If you like earthy, you'll like this wine. I think you will. So and Pinotage, like I said, the first time I like Pinotage. I think I do. And I wouldn't have this drink this with certain foods. I mean, there are some. I mean, it goes well with a wide variety of foods, but I probably wouldn't have this with say maybe like boiled chicken or something like that. But it's something a little bit more like spicier and something more like what I have here in this platter, I think goes well with most all of these foods. It really does. And pizza, if you like pizza, this is a good wine for pizza. Pasta. I think it'll go good with spaghetti, with ziti. I think it'll just go fine with a good lasagna, as a matter of fact. Courtney says, Rick, we have a good friend that got some bear meat. Never tried it, but do you think this would pair well with bear? Wow. whoa, bear meat. You know, I've never had bear meat. So, and to be honest, I'm not inclined to try bear meat. I do have my limitations, but bear meat, I don't know. What does bear meat taste like? I've never had it. And if you've had, you've never tried it, bear meat, I don't know. When I'm talking about gamey meats, I'm talking about, you know, not too gamey, maybe some, I think this would be okay with a roasted chicken. And of course, that's not gamey meat, but I'd say some duck, maybe a little bit of roasted duck, not maybe a little roasted duck, venison. I think it would be okay with venison. It would be all right with venison. I wouldn't go too gamey with it. Now, like I said, there are some things I've never tried, like a bison. I think this would go good with a bison burger. I would do this with a bison burger. There are some meats that I have never tried, like antelope I couldn't honestly tell you. I think this would be good with a bison burger. I could do that. That would be all right. Courtney says earthy seems like it would. It might, but like I said, I've never tried bear, so I don't know. You know, bear could taste like, has anyone tried eating bear meat before? I don't know of anyone that has ever actually had bear meat. Courtney says, let's just say he's from up in them hills. Oh, okay. Okay. And we're not talking about Beverly Hills, right? Not those hills. We're talking about up in the hills. Up the hills. I know I've known a few people up the hills. I just had a flashback to when I was a kid and I knew some people who lived kind of up in the hills. It was interesting, but not going there now. But we're talking about the Moonshine Hills, right? Well, they don't drink wine. They drink shine, right? Is that what we're talking about? But and look at moonshine. Oh, I don't want to get started on that either. I'm supposed to end on time. I don't even want to get started on moonshine. But let's just say that I've had a whiff or two of moonshine in my day when I was younger. And you really have to. I don't have the stomach for it, to be honest. I don't. Jonathan says, I hear banjos. Yeah, so do I. Maybe a little bit of Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs, some Flatt and Scruggs going on. Maybe a little theme to the Beverly Hillbillies. I don't know. I'm not going to go there now. It's okay. Courtney says, oh, he's shiny. All right. Okay. It sounds like you could tell us some stories. You could tell us some stories, and maybe I'll just relay them through the chat here. You could tell us some stories. I'd like to hear some of those. Anyway, so before we get too deep into this bottle, because I am starting to get down into the bottle, why don't we go ahead and do some, let's toast some birthdays and some anniversaries and some national days and fun. I tell you, this is going to be fun because, first of all, I have a list of birthdays. And I know for some folks who are watching later, and some folks who have watched the stream before, and Jeffrey, I see Jeffrey's checking us out in the chat. Jeffrey, good to see you. Step on in. Step into the chat and say hi. Tell me how you're doing, and tell me what's going on with you. Jeffrey he took a trip to South Korea, didn't you? And I've been catching up with you on that, and that sounds like quite an adventure, by the way. That's never been out of the States, to be honest. And I can explain that why maybe another time, not for tonight. Let's get to the birthdays here. I want to say happy birthday to my friend Patrick. Patrick and I go way, way back in our force field days and our on-force days, working for doing contract work with on-force. Patrick, Patrick's a very successful IT guy. He runs his own business and doing computer repair and maintenance. And he hobnobs around with some celebrities too, from what I've seen over the years. So Patrick, here's to you, happy birthday. That's Patrick. Today. I don't know how old he is today, but today is his birthday. And my good friend Patty. Now, Patty was here last week. I don't see her in the chat this week, but she was here last week, and her birthday is coming up on Tuesday. So, Patty, in case you're watching later, I want to say happy birthday to you. Have a very, very happy birthday to you. And as I mentioned last week on the stream, Patty and I go way back to our days in the Cinematography Club of Orlando, which later became the Association of Cinematic Arts, and then the Association of Cinematic and Video Arts, changed names two or three times. Also, I want to say, I know he's not in here right now, but he may catch this later. I want to say happy birthday to my good friend Everett. Everett, his birthday is going to be on Wednesday, so I want to toast him now. Everett was in the sales department at WOFL. That's where I first met him. That was back in the late 80s, early 90s, the mid-80s, actually. Go back to, actually, before that. 1980, when did I start there? 1980, 81. And I worked there from until 94, I think, 93, 94. And Everett and I have known each other for many, many years. But he is in the sales department there. Really nice guy. And I think he does a little photography as well. So, Everett, it's great to see you. great to see you not in the chat. But happy birthday anyway. It's great to know you. Honor to know Everett. Really, really nice guy. Also, my friend Gary. I'm going to toast him too. Gary's birthday is coming up on Thursday. I believe he's been in the chat before too. He stopped in once before, at least, if I remember right. One of them, yeah, Gary, because Gary and Barry are twins. They're brothers, Gary and Barry. I knew them both in high school. We went to middle school and high school together. And that goes way, way back, but they were twin brothers, and Gary, we always had trouble telling them apart, but I want to say, Gary, happy birthday to you. And also, who else? Let's see. My friend Cheryl is her birthday is Friday. So happy birthday to you too, Cheryl. Cheryl and I go way, way back also. Happy birthday, Cheryl. Cheryl is the sister of my good friend Jack Miller, who's been here many times and who had his birthday not too long ago. We go way, way back to our days at church. Courtney says, not that he's watching, but my son Webb turned the big 1-2 last week. The big 1-2. We're talking about 12 years old? 12 years old? Well, I have to... I'll tell you what, Courtney, let's toast your son Webb. Happy birthday to Webb. And then that was last week, but belated birthday, but happy birthday. And I hope he has many, 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 many more. Lives to a ripe old age. Well, congratulations. Congratulations to Webb. That's great. Let me check. I promised I was going to keep up with YouTube, but I got caught up in toasting people. But Valley Helens is over here going, no Gouda tonight. Okay. And no Gouda tonight. I could have, we could have done the Gouda, but we didn't do it this time. Valley Helens says online viewer poll. Fruit fly in your wine glass, drink it down or gingerly remove and save for later. Okay, we'll go with the poll there. If you get a fruit fly in your wine glass, do you drink it down or do you remove it? I'd say I'd remove it. Actually, I'm the type of person where, I know wine is, I would say it's an antiseptic, but... it can tolerate a few things, gnats and things. I've had wine in my glass with a gnat in it before, and I just took the gnat out and drank the wine. Fruit flies, I don't know. I'd have to say I'd take it out of the glass, and I might just, if it's a fruit fly, it depends on how much wine's in the glass. if it's fruit fly and there's about this much wine in the glass, I'd probably just toss the wine out. Rinse it quick and then refill it. That's what I would do. And that's just the way I am. I don't want bugs in my glass. I really don't. Let's see. Ujargas joined us in the chat there and says, hey, what's up, people? How's the wine? And says, hey, my coworker, Nala just passed his CompTIA Security Plus certification today. He can do anything with a computer. And congratulations. I have to say congratulations to your coworker who, the type is really small on this screen. I'm in the process of switching this out. So forgive me if I can't read it very well, but, Vojarga says, my coworker Nolly, I guess it's Nolly, just passed his CompTIA Security Plus certification today. He can do anything with a computer. And I want to say congratulations because been there, done that pretty much. Okay, I take that back. Take that to toast. I was saying congratulations. The toast is good. But I take back what I said about my doing Security Plus. I didn't do Security Plus. I did CompTIA Plus. The A plus certification. I did security with something else. I didn't use Security Plus because by that time I got around to that. CompTIA had. I was a little bit upset with CompTIA. For those who are confused of what I'm talking about right now, CompTIA is the organization that does certifications for people getting into IT and. The basic certification, the very basic certification is the A-plus certification. So if you have a computer technician who is A-plus certified, that means that they have passed their A-plus test through CompTIA that does the testing for that to show that they're certified to be a computer repair person or computer technician. And they have different levels. They have the A plus, and they have the network plus, and they have the few others, but and the security plus as well, which is what he was talking about. But the A plus, in the beginning, when I originally took the A plus, back when I was in doing this with computers, it was supposed to be a lifetime thing. You were supposed to take it one time, and it was a lifelong thing. It was supposed to last forever, for the rest of your life. That you were certified for life if you took the A plus. Well, back around 2000, I want to say it was early 2000s. I don't remember exactly when. Maybe 2005, 2006 or so, somewhere. CompTIA changed the rules and said that, well, if you have to be the certification, we're going to change it so that that if you're getting certified, you're only certified for a specific period of time, and then you have to get recertified. I was not too happy about that, and actually it upset a lot of people who had taken their A-plus certification, so a lot of techs, who had been promised that was a lifetime certification, and then they were actually essentially taking it back. That would be sort of like the American Bar Association saying, you know, we'll pass you for the bar and you're a lawyer for life, and then coming back a few years later and saying, no, you got to retake it every 2 years or something like that. Something along those lines. But for, there was a lot of pushback, from the, techs about that. It was, that didn't go well with the techs, including me. Especially considering the fact that all the CompTIA A plus certification means is that the qualification is basically equal, saying that you have at least 6 months experience with dealing with computers. That's essentially what it is, or what it was at the time. At the time, it was like, okay, if you're CompTIA certified, that means you're certified to have at least 6 months of experience working with computers, that you have a certain amount of experience and you know what you're doing. And for changing the rules like that, instead of making it lifetime and making it for a certain period of time, that was kind of a blow to a lot of techs. Anyway, I went off on a tangent there. That's what we do here. This is a stream of consciousness kind of show, and I am going to try and keep this on time, so I have to kind of make this quick. Anyway, Valleyhounds, getting back to the fly in the wine, Valleyhounds says she had web when she was 38. Well, okay, we're talking. Let me go back here and see. I think there's going to be a little bit of a Courtney says, Courtney says she was 37, right? 38. All right, that sounds like something I don't want to get in the middle of. So Valleyhounds says I drank it down. This is when you had the fly in the wine. You said you drank it down, the fruit fly, that is. So you drank you saw a fruit fly sitting in the wine, and you drank the fruit fly with the wine. Was it a fruity wine? Was it one with a lot of fruit in it? I wouldn't have done that. I'll be honest. I wouldn't have done that. Some people might. I might not have. I wouldn't have. But I wouldn't have done that. But some folks might. Let's see. What about the rest of you? If you found a fruit fly or something in your wine, would you scoop it out and change the wine like I would? Or would you just scoop it out and continue drinking? Or would you just drink it with the fly in it? That's a good question. Let's find out what everyone else thinks. In the meantime, Mike has joined us in the chat. Mike, it's great to see you. It's really, really good to see you. Mike Smith and I go way back as well, pretty far back. I first met Mike, virtually met Mike. I've never met him in person, although there have been many occasions where I wanted to meet Mike in person. And one of these days I may do that yet. But Mike has a long-running podcast, and he does a live stream as well for his podcast called The Mike Tech Show. And Mike and I go way, way back because we're both members of the Tech Podcast Network. When at the time that I was doing the Force Field, And I joined the Tech Podcast Network then, and that's when I first, Mike and I first got to know each other then. But Mike does a great show. He's very, very good at what he does. Compared to what I do here on the Wine Stream, I mean, I've been doing this for not quite a year, not even quite a year, about, what, nine months? Mike has been doing his show for, what is it, Mike? 13, 14 years? I know you've been doing it for at least 12, right? It was at least 13 years. I think 13 years at least. And Ed has joined us in the chat. Great to see you, Ed. I'm really happy to see you, my good friend Ed. And I hope you're doing really, really well. And I hope Shelley's doing well also. Ed says, howdy. And good to see you there. We're going to... And what's what is cash grab? So Jonathan says, and he's talking about the what I was referring to a few minutes ago as far as the A-plus certification. He says, did they not grandfather the original group? Sounds like they were trying to make money. Yeah, it does sound like, and I think that's what Ed's referring to also, cash grab. I think that's what a lot of us thought. A lot of us thought that. Now, I haven't really been involved with CompTIA for many, many years now. That was about the time I got away from them, and I got out of the CompTIA thing. I still have my A-plus certification card somewhere. It's all disintegrated and everything, but I still have it somewhere. But I just didn't bother with CompTIA anymore after that, just because of that. Incident, that particular situation. And that was not too long after that. That's when I kind of got out of doing computers altogether because I was just getting a little burned out on the whole thing. And there was just so much nonsense going on. I just said, I've had enough of that. I'm going to do something else. Ed says, fly equals free protein. Yeah, I guess you could look at it that way. I'm sure. I don't know if that's the kind of protein that's really healthy for you though. If that's a really healthy protein, I'm not a person that drinks bugs anyway. Valley Hound says I don't have cheese and crackers. So we're resorting to if you don't have cheese and crackers, I still don't know that fruit flies would be a good alternative to that, personally. So anyway, we got off on a really wild tangent here. I did want to mention that I think we got most of the birthdays out of the way, but I did want to mention that I have an anniversary coming up, and this is just an aside. I have an anniversary coming up. It's already happened. It was on the 24th of October. I don't know what I was thinking. Must be the wine. So my anniversary is with the company I work for. Cricket Adventures, which is the parent company of By2WayRadios.com. And I've mentioned By2WayRadios a number of times, but as you know, that I am the product manager for By2WayRadios. And it was 9 years ago on October 24th that I first joined the company. So here's a happy anniversary of me. And it has special significance to me because as I mentioned before, I found that the company that I work for, if I may take just a moment to say, I know some people hate their jobs. Some people are kind of just sort of like, meh, about their jobs. I happen to love my job. It's a job that I think I've all my life experiences, I'm utilizing all of my life experiences and training in other places, in other areas, whether it be video production or writing, blogging, TV production, voice work, podcasting, blogging, and everything else that's just kind of culminated into and my retail experience working for my own company and working at other companies that kind of culminated into this one experience here at the company I work for now. And I'm able to utilize all those things that I've learned over my life to do something that I really, really love to do, I really love my job. I look forward to going there every day. There isn't a morning that I wake up that I think, you know, some people, they wake up in the morning and they say, oh man, I got to go to work today. Every morning I get up and it's like, what am I going to do when I get to work today? I'm already thinking when I get up and I'm getting in the shower, I'm already thinking about what I'm going to be doing, what I'm going to be working on in the office. When I get to the office and I sit down. So when I get to the office and I sit down, I go right to it and I start doing stuff. And I'm doing that till the end of the day. And it's because I'm passionate about what I do. I really love the job that I do. And then maybe, you know, it's like every job, there's some things that there's some tasks that are not as pleasant as others. Yeah, and there are some that have been a few of them that have been downright unpleasant, but few and far between. But most everything that I do there, I really enjoy doing it. I have a great time, and yeah, it's hard work. It requires some concentration. It requires thinking out of the box sometimes, but that's part of that's part of the experience. That's part of the excitement of the job that I do. So I'm in a good place right now, and I'm really thankful for the job that I have. First of all, I'm really thankful for it, and I work with a great bunch of people. I work for a great bunch of people, and it's just an awesome experience. And I want to say 9 years. I want to say not so much congratulations to me, but thank you to my coworkers and from my bosses and for the owners of the company to allowing me to have that experience, to experience that. Thank you. 9 years. So I went a little bit longer than that than I want to, but it's just a quick thing. I didn't mean to make that self-focused, but I am excited about my job. I do like my job very much. So I wanted to show you something real quick because I kept meaning to do that before, and I kept forgetting about it. But you know, my son Tommy's birthday was September 29th, and I mentioned to him that we gave him a nice gift. And of course, he's a podcaster and a YouTuber in his own right. And Tommy, for his birthday, we got him this. What this is, now if you see around behind me, and you can't see the rest of the studio here, but around behind me, we have these, these decorative panels here, which are also acoustic panels. These are acoustic panels that double as part of the set, as set pieces. My son Tommy, who does his podcast called Cube Command, he has his room treated somewhat with acoustical treatment for his room because he does. He's kind of like, this is Studio A and his is like Studio B or that sort of thing. So he does a lot of his podcasting in there, except when we're doing our Free Stuff show together here. He's doing his Cube Command show in there with his friend Nick, who's his co-host. And Tommy, for his birthday, we wanted to do something really special, something that was just out of the box special. So I had been purchasing some of these acoustic panels from Acoustimac. Acoustimac is where I've purchased those. And I contacted them and I said, well, I'll tell you what, can you do a special acoustic panel? Because he needed a little more acoustic treatment in his room anyway. So I said, can you do a special panel with his logo? And they said, sure. And it wasn't cheap. I mean, it was a little bit, little pricey, but they did it, and they did such a fabulous job on it. That's what that is. And what that is a 2 foot by 2 foot, 24 inch by 20 foot inch acoustic panel that has a frame around it. It's framed with his logo, his Cube Command logo on it. And it's 2 inches thick. This thing is 2 inches thick, like the ones behind me. You can see they're actually 2 inches thick, and they're filled with an acoustic foam. It's basically basically rock wool back there that's inside it to help dampen the vibrations, the sound vibrations, and acoustically treat the room to prevent echo in the room. But that's what we did. We gave him that gift, and he was really, really, I knew he would be, but he was really, really, really happy with it. He really likes that. He's got it up on the wall of his room, and of course he can use it as part of his backdrop when he does his live streams. Anyway, that is, that's what we gave him for his birthday. And I kept meaning to show that off because we were all quite proud of it, as he is, but I kept forgetting to do that. Anyway, that's the acoustic panel that we bought for him for his birthday. Now, there is something else that I wanted to share with you. That and let me just check. Jonathan says, congratulations, Rick. Thank you. Thank you, Jonathan. And Dee has joined us in the chat. Dee, it's great to see you. I'm glad you're here. I'm really glad you're here. Stick around. Join us in the chat and tell me how you're doing, because I really haven't heard much about how you're doing lately, but tell me how you're doing. I want to hear from you. And this wine is very good, actually. It is. And let me check. The Valhound says, too much wine, not enough flies. Time to wrinkle the sheets. Rick 2020. Well, thank you. Thank you, Bella Hounds. Anyone in Twitch? Not much going on in Twitch. Not expected. Let's go back to where the action is. And Bella Hounds, I did promise I was going to keep up with YouTube, and I am. So, a friend of mine had written a book recently. And in fact, he just wrote this book, and made a purchase. I purchased a copy of this book to check it out, and I read it to review it. And those of you who know who I'm talking about, Ed, you know who I'm talking about. And let's see who else is still in the chat here? You're still in the chat, Gordon. If you're still in the chat, you know who I'm talking about. My friend Chris Kremitzos, who is co-founder of Podfest, and he wrote a book called Start Ugly. This is a timeless tale about innovation and change. Now, what Start Ugly is about, it's about getting yourself motivated to just do it, to just start. And a lot of people, what they do is, I've been doing this myself quite a bit. There are a lot of things that I've wanted to do in my life that I never actually got around to doing it because I thought, okay, it has to be the right time to do it. Everything has to be in the right place. Everything has to be perfect to do it in order for me to do it. Otherwise, I just can't do it. And I've missed out on a lot of opportunities and a lot of potential success in my life because that sort of thing held me back. Now, part of it maybe was a little bit of laziness. Maybe it was a little slothfulness, saying, I'll do it tomorrow. I'd rather watch reruns of Gilligan's Island or something instead. But a good deal of it is a fear of jumping in and not being ready to do what I'm going to do when I do it. And a fear of failure, I guess you should say. So this book by Chris Kremitzos, he talks about this, and he explains why you should start ugly. I mean, you don't go out there unprepared. You don't want to go out there unprepared at all, but you want to, do a little homework. And if you have an idea, concept, you do a little homework, but then you just do it. You just execute it. Don't worry about it being perfect. It doesn't have to be perfect when you first go out there and do it. Just start it. And this is what his book's about. Now, I read his book. It's not a long read, and this is my book review on it. I purchased it. It was $19.95 on Amazon, and it arrived. I purchased it last Tuesday. I think there were like four copies left. There are four copies left because this book was flying off the shelves. When this book first went up there, it apparently went up the charts quickly on Amazon, and this book sold out pretty quickly. I want to congratulate Chris for this, which I will do in a few moments. But When I got, I think there were four copies left when I purchased mine, and it arrived the other day. So I sat down and read this book, and I tell you what, it's not a long read. It's not a long read. It's very, very, it's very, very easy read. And if you don't like to read, now, if you like to read books, if you're a really voracious reader, when you first look at this book, you'll say, oh, well, there's not much to it. You know, it's like 1995 and there's not much to it. But, and you know, when I first saw it, I thought, well, you know, it's kind of a thin book. There's not much to it. $20, that's kind of pricey for the book. But then I started to read the book. I got into the book and I read it. And it took me a few hours to read. And the reason is because I kept having these little interruptions. I started reading it before breakfast. And I thought, well, I can just read this thing and get done by breakfast. That didn't happen because I kept getting all these little interruptions. But I went back to the book later. And it was actually a fairly quick read when I was done. But the information in this book, it basically tells a story, and I'm not going to go into the story because I want you to check out this book. It was very thought-provoking. It really was thought-provoking, and I think that when all is said and done, I think this is just the right amount of book, you know, for this topic, because I think if it was a big, big, thick book, I think people would have just gotten lost in it and they would have lost the message in the book. And I have read books like that were so dry. I can think of a few that I purchased that were interesting topics that were trying to drive home a point or two, but they would take about 300 pages to do it. And by the time I was done, I forgot what I originally bought the book for. So, you know, that some of those books, you know, didn't really stick with me. This book, though, stuck with me. I read this book in just a couple hours, and I was really impressed with not just, it's a fairly well-written book, but I was impressed with the fact that he got right to it. He got right to the point. He drove the point home several times, but the story that he tells really exemplifies what he's trying to say. It really does illustrate, not exemplifies, it illustrates what he's trying to say very, very well, so clearly that you can't read this book and not understand exactly what's going on, what he's trying to say, what the point is. And I want to say that it's just the right book for its size. Now, for $19.95 price, let's talk about that for a second. I have seen Start Ugly is actually a motivational book. It really is. This is a book about motivating yourself to not worry about waiting till it's the right time to do something or the right moment to do something or all the stars align perfectly to do something. It's about just doing it, just getting it out there, just starting it and then perfecting it along the way. Okay, I'm truncating the story, but everyone should read this book. I think everyone who, whether you're starting a business or you're starting a podcast or you're starting a garden, whatever you're going to do, and you want to succeed at whatever you're doing, this is a really good little book to read. I think it's very motivational. But some people will say, yeah, but it's $20 for a little motivational book. I'm going to say this about that. I've worked in a lot of places where they have all these motivational posters. These quick little one or two, where you know what I'm talking about, these little motivational posters, and they do parodies of them online all the time, where you have these motivational things like little phrases and whatever to try to keep you motivated to do your job, that sort of thing. You know, very uplifting little things. And some of those posters cost $20-$30. I've seen some of those posters that cost more than that, $39-$40, and they're nothing more than motivational posters. And Yeah, they say a picture says a thousand words, but you know, for $30, you know, this book is a motivational book. But I think personally that if you put this book, if you read this book, you buy it and you read it, and then you just keep it on your coffee table or keep it next to your desk all the time, and you see the phrase "start ugly," that's a motivational poster right there. That's like a $40 motivational poster at half price. And plus, there's a whole story in there, which a motivational poster doesn't have. I think this is well worth the price, especially if you are someone who is prone to, I guess, to the fears of failure, and who's prone to putting off starting something. If you have a dream or you have an idea for doing something and you're prone to putting it off just because of those fears and the hesitation of doing it, because you're thinking that, oh, I've got to have all the stars aligned up perfectly, or else it's going to fall flat on its face, or it's not going to work out right, or it's going to look stupid, or people are going to hate it. This book is telling you, don't worry about that. Just go ahead and start. Go start ugly, and then refine it along the way. You know, that's the message of the book. I think everybody should buy this book and read it. I really do. And I like the book. It's a good story. $20, I think it's worth it. Definitely worth it. So I want to say to Chris, who did a fine job on this book, I want to say congratulations on the book. Congratulations on the success of the book, because this book sold out fairly quickly. The first printing sold out fairly quickly. I got one of the last four copies. And I would say that's quite an achievement anyway for a book. But I would say congratulations to Chris. This is a good book, and it's worth a read. I'm going to give my own story for Start Ugly, and that is this wine stream. This wine stream is, when I first started it, and I think most of you have followed me along for any particular time or from the beginning, know how I started this. When you look at the very first episode, it was very rough around the edges. Second episode, same thing. The third or the fourth one? That was a disaster. That was a real disaster. I was doing this, and I was trying some innovative things with it, connecting multiple cameras and things like that. And it was so jerky. It was so messed up that it was basically unwatchable. Now, I did capture the audio from it to convert into a podcast, which is also barely listenable. In my opinion, maybe not listenable at all. I don't know, but it was pretty much it was a real disaster. And I was thinking to myself after that wine stream finished, the video was done, and I went back and looked at it and just saw how hard it was. I was thinking, oh man, why am I even doing this? Why am I even doing? I like what I'm doing. I'm having fun doing it. And as I said before, I'm doing this for fun. And when it stops being fun, I'll stop doing it. Well, that really discouraged me when I saw that. It really discouraged me because, I started ugly. I just did it. I didn't really have a lot of experience. I have 13 years experience in podcasting, but that was audio podcasts. I really hadn't done any live streaming. I did not have the equipment. I still really don't have the equipment that I need to do it the way I want to do it. But I thought to myself, well, I want to learn how to do this, and I was doing this for fun anyway. So, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be perfect. And it wasn't. It definitely was not perfect. My presentation online, it's like, well, wait, you know, I'm doing this live. I've never really done a fully live podcast before. They've all been scripted or semi-scripted. I've never done a live podcast before. And if you go back to look at the early ones, and of course, I'm still learning a lot of things. I still have a lot of things to learn. But If you go back and look at my first few and you listen to the first few of them, in my opinion, I think they're very cringeworthy. Really. But I started. I just did it. I said, you know what? I want to do this because if I don't do it, I'm doing this for myself really, but I'm doing this for those who want to watch. But if I don't do this, it'll never happen. It'll just never happen. It'll be one more of my dreams, one more of my little ideas. And I've had so many ideas that I just never picked up on or never brought to fruition for that reason. I thought to myself, if I just don't do it, it's not going to happen. So why should I care? Look, I'm a seasoned podcaster. I've already paid my, you know, I've already shown that I know how to do it right. And I like to say that there are no rules in podcasting, and I've broken every one of them. That's what my tagline is. Well, I've done this for so many years, doing it the right way, and just once, let me just do it off the cuff and see what happens. And you know what? If people laugh at me, if people what is this guy doing? You know, if it's just if they just throw it all out, or if they all, you know, if I get a lot of haters on the YouTube channel, that sort of thing, I don't care. I'm just doing it for fun. It's just a fun thing to do. And taking that approach to it, it was easier for me to, you know, as I would say, or as Chris would say, start ugly. And that's what I did. I started ugly. Well, when I started, there wasn't much to this backdrop either. I just set up the camera and started to go. Well, look at the backdrop now. Look at what I have now. Look at what's going on now. The production values have improved. 34 episode. We're in the 34th episode of this wine stream. And here I am, and I've streamlined quite a few things. Now, yeah, of course, I'm on camera. I'm doing this live. So if I make any mistakes, as I often do, just like when I saw the Facebook stream go down a few moments ago, well, that really wasn't anything I had any control over. But any of the other mistakes that I've made, you know, if I pause or if I forget my train of thought, because this is a stream of consciousness show, if I forget what I'm doing or if I spill something or, you know, like when I forgot to put the aerator in here, you know, little things like that, sometimes big things. If I do that, it's all live and I just have to go with it. The show must go on. I have to just keep going and not worry about it and then just try to learn from those mistakes, those errors. But in the whole process of this, in the last 34 episodes, I've continued to try to refine and perfect what I'm doing. And that's what I'm doing now. I'm trying to refine the process, trying to perfect the process. I think as an orator, I don't know. I think as an orator, I still do my ums and I've got my little idioms and things like that going. Yeah, I'm still working on that. Okay, I'm still working on that. But for the most part, yeah, I've got to watch my time too because we're coming up on the end of the time. I promised my wife that I would cut this short, so I'm going to have to do this. But the point is, the lesson here is that I didn't worry about it. I just started ugly. I just did it, and now I'm refining it as I go along. And this is true of, and this is what this book is talking about. It's true of everything else in life. Anything that you want to be successful at, you can't be afraid of failure. Because if you're too afraid of failure to start something, you're never going to start it at all. Now, you might fail. You might fall flat on your face. Look, I might fail at this wine stream. I might. Long-term goals, I was thinking, you know what? If I'm doing this, if I keep doing this for 1 or 2 years, I might pick up some spots. Maybe I'm going to pick up some sponsors and maybe make some money off the show and all the yada, 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 and all this kind of stuff. The dreams of a lot of different podcasters. But I may not. It may never, ever happen. But the point is that I'm right here, right now with you, and I'm doing this. I'm having a good time doing it. I'm not worrying about it too much. But I'm learning. I'm learning a lot of things. I've learned a lot of things since I've started this. I've learned a lot of things about streaming. I've learned a few things about orating. I've learned a lot of things about wine, and I continue to learn a lot of things about wine. And you know what? That's one of the things I like about this wine stream. That's one of the reasons I still do this, is because I'm learning so much about wine that I didn't know before. And look at this, this Pinotage wine. This is a new wine. This is something that I didn't know ever existed. These two grapes meshing into one. I never knew this existed before, but I'm doing this. I'm doing this I'm trying this for the first time and I like it. And if I had never done this wine stream, if I had never started this, I don't think I would have ever tried this wine. I would not be drinking this wine. I probably would not try any of these wines. I would not have met these wonderful people from Wine Store. I wouldn't have the connections I have with so many friends, old and new, that have come in and visited me and continue to visit with me, and that I'm grateful for. I wouldn't have any of those things. And you know what? If this lasts a year, 2 years, 20 years, if I live that long, I don't know. Or if this ends tomorrow, you know, the fact is that I can go back. I can look back on it and say, I did this. Whether it succeeded or not, I did it. I tried it. I tried it. I did it. If I had sat around and watched some more reruns of old Perry Mason shows or something like that, instead of sitting in here doing this, I would have said, I never would have experienced any of this, and you wouldn't have experienced any of this, and none of this would have ever existed. So the fact is that if you're going to start doing something, if you have an idea or you have a vision for something, you got to, you do your little homework, do a little some planning. Don't just jump into it. And I even did a little planning for this. I did, such as it was. But you got to start. You got to start somewhere. You can't just wait till everything's perfect, because it's never going to be perfect. That's the whole point. This is never, and that's one thing that I learned from this book. It's never going to be perfect the first time out. You got to start. And then, especially if it's something you've never done before, something that's never been tried before, something brand new, it can't be perfect. You got to start and then perfect it as you go along. And then eventually, two things will happen. One, you'll perfect it. And second, you will be the innovator, especially if it's something new, you will be the innovator of it. There you go. And that's Starting Ugly. But look, I recommend this book. I don't have it up on my website yet, but you can, I'll later on, maybe tomorrow, I'll put up a link to it on Amazon where you can purchase it when it becomes available again. But my good friend Chris Kremitzos, I want to once again congratulate him again for this book. It's very good. It's motivated to me to do a couple of things beginning tomorrow that I have been putting off. We'll see where that goes. Might not go anywhere. We'll see. Anyway, we're coming up on the end of the stream, and as I promised that we would, I would end this on time, and it's 11:30 now, so we're going to end it now. Anyway, I just want to tell everyone that I really appreciate your being here. I want to thank everyone. Wow, if I can go up the line, Jonathan, Jessica, Chi, Gordon, it's great to see you. Courtney, Molly, I mentioned Jonathan already. Let's see. Mike, it's great to see you. Ed, I'm looking forward to palling around with you at PodFest 2020 as well. If we don't talk to each other before then. Dee has joined us tonight, and I want to say thank you for joining us, Dee. Appreciate your being here. Matt as well. Matt, we snuck in here, didn't you? I just snuck in here. But it's great to see you, Matt. Thanks for joining us. And by the way, this is a fine wine. This man wine, this is a Pinotage. It's not something that they sell normally at a wine store, but I did special order from them, and they can do that for you too. They can look and special order certain wines for you. They did for me, and I really appreciate that. Charles has joined us in the chat also. It's good to see you, Charles. Thanks for stopping in. And really, I want to thank you for being here. I do appreciate having you. I do appreciate everyone here. And also, yes, I have not forgotten Valley Hounds. I know you're here. And also, Vojarga. Thank you for joining me on the chat tonight, Vojarga. And thank you for contributing as well. You didn't tell me what you were drinking or if you were drinking anything. But if you're drinking something, let me know what you're drinking or what you like to be drinking or like to see me drink. I'm open for suggestions. Next week, I'm not really sure what we're going to do. We might, maybe, we'll open the other one that we didn't open tonight, the Petit. That's another Pinotage wine. I'm liking these Pinotage wines, so I might just do that. Excuse me. If it's anything like this Man wine, it should be pretty decent. Anyway, tonight we're drinking the Man, or M-A-N, Man Bostock Pinotage. This is a South African wine. It's from South Africa, and it is 100% Pinotage grape, which is a combination of a Pinot and a Sauvignon grape. And it's actually pretty good. It goes pretty well with the I liked it with the lamb. It goes well with the lamb. It goes well with the it goes good with pizza. It'll work with pizza. It'll work with a lot of different foods. I think this is a very versatile wine. I liked it with the smoked cheddar. That was the Pepperidge Farm cheddar, I believe. And it went okay with the beef summer sausage. And it was all right with the what do I have here? This was Monterey Jack or the Jack cheese. Or I don't know if that's Monterey Jack or a blend of a Jack and a Colby. I think it's Colby Jack. But I liked it better with the smoked cheese. I think I think it goes good with lamb. We had it with the lamb. It goes really, really good with the lamb. I think it would go good with a lot of different meats, including grilled meats. I don't know if it would go well with bear, to be honest with you. I've never had bear. No plan to try it, but I tell you what, Courtney, if you plan on ever having bear, try it and tell me how it goes. Tell me what it's about. Anyway, Jonathan says no haters, love your honesty. Thank you, Jonathan. I really, really do appreciate that. And here's you, Jonathan. Anyway. Thanks for joining me tonight on the wine stream. We're going to close it up now. And we'll do something next week. Oh, I almost forgot one thing. Yeah, I know. Chi is going to be a minute or two over. My wife, Chi, made these peanuts. She roasts her own peanuts. This is one thing I did not try. I've been meaning to try it. I've had this on the last two wine streams. I brought this up here. And I kept forgetting about doing this. But my wife, Chi, roasts these. And let me get a shot of this. She roasts her own peanuts. Eat your heart out, planter. But she roasts her own peanuts. And she has her own recipe. And her recipe does involve roasting the garlic with the peanuts. She has these garlic pieces with the peanuts. And these peanuts are to die for, basically. The neighborhood, everyone in the neighborhood loves these things, and they're always asking her to make them. In fact, when Mark and Kathy Miller, I mentioned them before, they do their house concerts, she'll often bring some over to them for all of their guests. But these things are great, and I'll tell you what about peanuts. These go great with beer, especially a good craft beer. I've had these with beer. I've had these with the craft beers before, and they are really, really great with the beer. I've also had this. I've also drunk a lot of wine with these peanuts, believe it or not. And I know peanuts are not the sort of thing where you think, oh, yeah, they go great with wine. They pair with wine. But I love these peanuts. And, yeah, I eat the garlic, too. I eat the roasted garlic. And they actually go very well with the wine. Including this one. It's okay with it. Oh, yeah. Well, actually, it does go pretty well with this wine. Mm. I don't know if it's just peanut or garlic that does it. Yeah, not bad. I have to do a few more of those. Yeah, I know. This is a late show snack here. Tasting. Anyway, I wanted to show that off because I love my wife's peanuts. She does a fabulous job making her own roasted peanuts with her own recipe. And I think she roasts them in olive oil too, which is really, really different. Very makes them very rich, but it's very good. Anyway, so once again, I want to thank everyone for joining me in the chat tonight. And I want next week we're probably going to open maybe the other pinotage unless I find something else. We'll see. We'll see. But I hope you join me next week so we can all try it out together, whatever it is, more or less. And I want to say in the meantime, have a great week. Have a safe week. Don't drink and drive. Do this in the comfort of your home, your hotel room, your apartment, wherever you are. Do that in the comfort of that space. And if you have to go somewhere, call an Uber or a Lyft or something. Do not drive yourself home, okay? Please, be safe. Don't drink and drive. Do not text and drive. Please, that's one of my pet peeves. Don't text and drive. Because I want to see all my friends come back here next week and join me on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. And we can all get together and drink with Rick. Good night.